just want you to imagine with me for a few moments Peter, James, and John out in the darkness, the Sea of Galilee. I want you to hear the noise, swish, slap, as the net hit the water. Silence, it's midnight. Swish, slap, silence, 2 a.m. Swish, slap, nothing, 3:30. Swish, slap, deafening silence, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Guys, let's give it one more try. Swish. The slap of the net hitting the water, dragging it back into the boat. Empty. Nothing. A wasted night, bone tired, frustrated. It's daylight. We still have to wash the nets. Peter and his partners, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, perhaps Andrew was there, we're not sure, fished all night and caught nothing. Sounds painfully familiar. Has it ever seemed like nothing you try is working? Sometimes the harder you work, the behinder you get. Nothing's working with your kid. Nothing's working really in your marriage. It just seems to never improve. Your health is deteriorating. You always seem to have money problems. There's so much stress at work. Perhaps you're dealing with an addiction or a habit that has never been broken for good. Whenever this stuff, this crud, this nonsense is happening in your life, there's a great temptation to feel sorry for yourself. Never, ever feel sorry for yourself. Feeling sorry for yourself is the road to destruction and ruin. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, start looking for Jesus. Start looking, start trying to hear, what is the Spirit of God saying to me? Would you stand together with me as we honor God in the reading of His Word today from the Gospel, Luke chapter 5. Verse 1, "So it was as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the Word of God that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to Him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came, filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Let's pray. Father, I pray that today those that are coming up empty, those that are searching and are not finding the answer, those that are about to give up in despair, Father, I pray that instead of quitting, that today You would speak to hearts that word that will bring them victory. Lord, we ask today that You would grant us ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying to us. and we have predetermined we'll be doers of your word and not hearers only today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. It's not time to quit working on your marriage. It's not time to quit working on your finances. It's not time to give up on that destructive habit. It's not time to give up on your son or daughter. It's not time for you to give up on yourself today. It is time to listen to Jesus and to get a word from God. I'm going to take you through a progression this morning in Peter's life. Here is the first, where he has done everything that he knows to do. He's a professional fisherman. This is what he has been trained to do since childhood. He had apprenticed in the father's business. We know that he left his father to follow Jesus. So this is, you know, this isn't just a hobby. This is his expertise. This is his wheelhouse, we would say. He knows what he's doing. They fished all night, caught nothing. Okay? And we've been there. We've done everything we know to do in our situation. We're somewhat experienced maybe in our situation. But here's the deal. They caught nothing. And we've all been there in one way or another. That metaphor works for all of us in various situations of life. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I want you to launch out and cast your net into the deep. Very interesting. Peter's going, okay, I know he didn't say it, but can we read between the lines a little bit? Okay, carpenter boy. Okay, great teacher. I mean, why don't you just stick to the stuff you know, the spiritual part of life. Come on, if you're going to give me some expertise on, you know, building a house or building furniture or something, maybe, but we know what we're doing when it comes to fishing. We have fished all night long, you understand, and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, okay. And you know what happened? They did what Jesus told them to do, and they caught more than what they could even get into one boat, even almost more than what they could get into two boats, because it almost sank that ship. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to think in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ written by John the Apostle. I want you to think about this. 8 times we read in this book, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So that would suggest to me that the Holy Spirit can be speaking and we're just not hearing it. Isn't it possible that the Holy Spirit is speaking about our situation? About what we need to do, about what we need to stop doing, about what directional changes we need to make, or the other thing to try that we haven't tried yet, or to try again something that we think, you know, we've come up empty and we're going to give up here, but Jesus says, try it one more time. Isn't it possible that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and we're just not hearing it? He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And we are the church. We are the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? In Hebrews chapter 11, look there if you will, please. Again, I think we need to give proper value to the Word of God. I was casually listening to the radio the other morning, getting ready for work, and I heard some little thing on there that I didn't catch all the statistics of that. But what I did catch was it was going through the amount of hours that we spend in our life doing certain things like sleeping, and how many years of our life that would be. You know, then, you know, how much television we watch, and then how many years of our life that would be. And it gave four or five examples. And then it talked about basically our time spent with God on average. I'm talking about personal listening to God time, not counting church service attendance, okay? I mean, it didn't equal to 1 year of our entire life. It amounted to just days. In other words, we do a lot of things and we put a lot of time, and we put a lot of energy, we put a lot of effort into many things that entertain us, you know, restores us. We do need to sleep. I'm not suggesting these are all bad things. But we don't properly value God's Word and really come up empty. We really come up short. We really fail as a result. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony because of faith." Now look at verse 3. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which are visible." In other words, we understand when God said, "Let there be light," there was. That God spoke our world into existence. That there's creative power in God's words. That God can change situations by His Word. What would be naturally impossible because the material's not there, the opportunity's not there, whatever, it doesn't exist. God doesn't need all of that. God can speak and create. And so if we understand that, then we should highly value God's word on the matter and depend maybe a little less on our own experience, on our own understanding, on our own knowledge, and so forth. And we might be getting better results if we would more properly value God's Word. Jeremiah said this. You can look there if you want to. I'm going to just read it to you without turning there myself. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, just for the sake of time. I love the attitude that the prophet has towards the Word of God when he said, "Your words were found, and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Do you see this attitude that I believe is proper towards God and His words? "Your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Do you have that kind of attitude towards God's word? Let's pick Peter back up in Matthew chapter 14. We kind of like Peter because many of us can identify with Peter because Peter's not perfect. Peter kind of steps in it a lot. Peter kind of fails a lot. Peter's the guy we're glad is a disciple because he makes a lot of mistakes, yet Jesus looked at Peter and said, "You know, I'm no longer going to call you Simon or Cephas, but I'm going to now call you Peter. I'm going to call you Rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And on the day of Pentecost, when everybody's standing around gazing, looking around, what's going on here? What's all this noise that we hear? How is it that all these people are preaching, and we're hearing them glorify God in our own language? These are just a bunch of Galileans, uneducated, you know, at that. And we're hearing them proclaim the great things of God. And Peter stands up uneducated Peter stands up and starts quoting prophets of God from the Old Testament and Joel, and he preaches, and 3,000 men get saved besides the women and children. We like Peter because Peter's not perfect, but God used him anyway. Amen. I mean, the first thing we see here is Peter arguing with Jesus. I mean, that's the first thing we see. Jesus says, you know, launch back out here, drop your nets again. Come on, Jesus. We've already done that. Been there, done that. We know what we're doing when it comes to fishing. Would you mind staying out of my business here? I mean, I don't mind going to church. Come on. But this is business, Jesus. What do you know about business? Well, apparently Jesus knew a few things. Launch out. Nevertheless, I mean, he's kind of learning here. Peter says, nevertheless, at your word. See, things happen when Jesus speaks. When God speaks, things happen. Look at Matthew chapter 14. And again, we like this story, don't we? Matthew 14, we pick it up in about 25. You know, Jesus had taught, he sent the disciples to go ahead and cross over the sea, and I'll catch up with you later. You know, we don't know how he's going to do that. Maybe he's going to catch the next boat. But verse 25, in about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus is walking on the sea. The disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they thought it was a ghost. But Jesus speaks to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered and said. Now, I think this is so interesting here, verse 28, that Peter initiates what's about to happen. I think we're so afraid sometimes to do anything that we do nothing. You know, Jesus didn't initiate what was about to happen. Peter did. I said Peter did. And so I'm saying, instead of being paralyzed because you're so afraid, I'm going to do something wrong, I'm not going to do anything, I like Peter. Peter got Jesus involved in his business by his invitation. "Hey, Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to come out and join you." Jesus said, "Well, it's me. Come." What happened? What happened? Peter comes, throws himself over the side of the boat. I mean, last time Jesus spoke a word and they were out here on this sea, I mean, they got so much fish, they couldn't hardly get it back to shore. I mean, it was a pretty good day of fishing for them. They'd fished all night. Caught nothing, but one word from Jesus, I mean, they about sunk the boats. There was so much fish in the boat by the time they followed what Jesus told them to do. Now, this time, they see Jesus walking across the water. Again, they didn't know it was Jesus until he started speaking. They recognized his voice. Peter said, "Jesus, if that's really you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come." What did Peter do? Peter walked on water. We jump on Peter a lot about sinking, about his doubt, about not trusting Jesus fully. But I don't know that I'd throw myself over the boat. But Peter did. Peter's learning. Peter's growing. Peter's learning how to hear and understand and trust in the voice of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come," and Peter starts walking on the water until he starts paying more attention to his circumstances, the wind and the waves. He starts thinking about what he's really doing here, that there's no way I can be doing this. Come on. And he starts to sink, right? Jesus helps him back to the boat. And says, "Why did you doubt me?" And all the time I'm thinking about Peter in this scenario. I'm thinking he's going, "Ah, I was so close. I was so close. I was so close. I actually walked on water for a while just following Jesus. Now, last time Jesus said, 'Cast the nets out,' we did it and it worked. Jesus just told me to come and I walked on the water, but I didn't stay with it. I started to doubt. I started to see what was going on around me. I started hearing the wind. I started thinking about, you know, what am I doing here?" Started doubting himself. And he sank. But I'm thinking as Jesus is bringing Peter back in the boat. Peter's thinking, come on, give me one more chance, Jesus. Next time I'm going all the way. Next time, come on. I'm learning. I'm learning if I keep my eyes on you, I just trust what you say. If I just do what you tell me to do, it works. But I start looking at the other things, start trying to figure it out myself. I sink. I'm thinking, next time, if I get another chance, Jesus tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that thing. Well, good for us, Jesus gives him another chance. Can you say amen to that? Look at John chapter 21. Is it okay if we just grow? Is it okay if we're not perfect in this thing? I mean, how many of you really legitimately knew God by the voice of the Holy Spirit told you to do something and you just didn't do it? I mean, we need more hands. We need, you know. And looking back, you thought, man, I missed an opportunity. Why didn't I believe God? Why didn't I do what he told me to do? Well, we didn't do it out of fear. We didn't do it because of doubt. We didn't do it because it seemed inconvenient. We didn't do it because we didn't feel like it. I mean, there's a lot of things. We just got busy. But I'm telling you, that's not the last time Jesus is going to speak to you. I said, that's not the last time. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. John 21, in verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, Sea of Gennesaret, it's all the same body of water. It's sort of like the Arkansas River. If you're in Arkansas, it's the Arkansas River. If you're in Kansas, it's what? The Arkansas. You know what? They named it by their own town, and it was known to them by what they called it. And that's the Sea of Galilee. It's all the same thing. Okay, so they're in this same body of water yet again. After these things, Jesus showed himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. In this same way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, well, we're going to go with you. And they went out, immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught what? Seems like we've been here before. They caught nothing. And that, my dear friends, is why I don't fish. I don't mind catching, but I don't really want to fish all night and catch nothing. All right? That's just a sidebar. All right, here we go. So they caught nothing again. Verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They said, no. They fished all night and caught nothing, remember? Verse 6, then he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Don't you love this? I mean, can't you just think, you and your logical brains going, okay, fish move. There is no right side or left side as far as the fish are concerned. You understand? If there's fish on the right side, there's logically fish on the left side of the boat. They didn't move. They didn't row over to another shore into a little cove like, you know, we always catch fish here. They hadn't moved. They were sitting still. Don't you think they tried that? But Jesus said, well, throw it over on the right side. I love the Bible so much for all these little kind of details like that. Throw it over on the right side of the boat. But I'm telling you, I'm thinking even though they didn't recognize Jesus by his face, it's early in the morning, maybe it's not completely daylight yet, I do believe by now they recognize his voice. And even though what Jesus is asking them to do doesn't make any sense at all, they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, speaking about John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. And the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land. And there was about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said, "Come and eat breakfast." I just love that story. Later, Jesus asked Peter some questions that we won't get into today. But the more fully developed your ear is toward hearing Jesus' words, the quicker you respond. This time, when they heard the voice of Jesus, they just went ahead and threw the net out. We don't see any arguing. We don't see any doubt. We don't see any unbelief. Try not to use this in chronological order. They cast out and got the results and figured out it was Jesus. I really, truly believe they knew it was Jesus' voice. They cast it out. They started getting results. But when you write something, it's hard to put all of that in its proper... Come on. I believe they now understood and they could hear, even though they couldn't fully see it. They now recognize the voice of Jesus, and that obedience caused them to do something. I'm telling you, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Getting around to it when I feel like it, that doesn't really work at our house. That didn't work at our house with our kids growing up. You know, doing it after you do everything you want to do isn't our agreement here. And I think we need to learn how to just step out of the boat. We need to just throw the net at the word of Jesus. We need to get Jesus more involved in our life, in our affairs, in our business. Your agreement and verbal confirmation brings about the desired end. In other words, when Jesus tells you to do something, you say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want Jesus to be more involved in my life. I don't want too many work and 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 come up empty situations in my life. There's too much at stake with our marriages, with our children, with our livelihood, with this world that we live in. We who are the children of God have been promised such this strong and close relationship with the Lord that the best analogy that when we're trying to describe the kind of relationship God wants to have with His church is that of marriage. And that's of a good marriage, of great communication. I want to have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying to me for several reasons. One, I want to be obedient. You know, I love God, and the greatest proof of my love for God, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll do what I tell you." And so I want to hear His voice, number one, because frankly, I want to be an obedient child of God. Number two, I want to hear His voice because He leads me and guides me into all truth and shows me things to come. In other words, there's things that could be prevented in my life if I would have just listened to Jesus, listened to the Holy Spirit, and then have done what He asked me to do. The third thing is that I've already gotten myself into trouble. I, meaning we're all I in this sentence. We've all gotten ourselves into trouble, and we've tried everything, and we don't know what to do, and we're about to give up. We're about to just chunk it and just say, "It's over, write this off." And yet, we know if we could just hear what the Spirit says about this, this situation could be fixed. It could be changed. It could be turned around. I want better results. I want to be obedient. But I want to prevent some things, and then I want some things to be fixed in my life. And I'm telling you, if we give proper value to God's Word, the whole world that we see was created by the Word of God. And your world is created somewhat by your words. You can continue to speak words of doubt. You can continue to speak words of fear. You can continue to speak words of condemnation. You can continue to speak words of defeat. And because we are created in the image of God, those words have creative power. Or we can find out what God says about that. We can get into faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what God says about our situation. And we can become into agreement with what God says about our situation and speak the same thing that God is saying, or Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying about our situation. Come on, somebody. And we can call things that be not as though they are, because God creates and He doesn't need any material other than His spoken word. You can see miracles. You can see turnarounds. Come on, somebody. You can see things stopped in their progression. If you get into agreement with God and His Word. But it starts with highly valuing the Word of God. Words. The power of words. The power of God's Word. The power of God's Word spoken through our own mouth. We need to learn what the Spirit is saying. And we learn to speak those same words that give life, that bring healing, that put the stop to bad things. Because Jesus said that if you could get into agreement on earth, that whatever things you bind, they're bound. And all that really means is that you're saying to certain things, stop it. This is over. You're not going any further. And whatever you loose is loosed. And we see the power of our words when they're in agreement with what Jesus said. I'm telling you, before we speak, we need to do what? We need to listen. We need to listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Now, I wanted to do something for quite a long time, and we've never really found the right and proper way to do this, and it's going to be just a little bit awkward even at this, but I'm trying to be obedient to what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to me. And I asked several members of the staff several weeks ago, have we done like a business dedication ceremony? And they said, well, we've talked about it, but I don't believe we've ever done that. And I said, well, it's kind of coming back to me. In my prayer time, I don't know where it comes from. You know, God has the prerogative to interrupt what you're thinking about and what you're talking about. And I just said, well, it just seems to me that we need to give people opportunity to dedicate their business to the Lord. Now, let me say something about your business. That doesn't mean you have to be a business owner. We all have business. Many of us work for somebody else's business. Well, let me tell you, it's in your best interest that that business do well. If that business does not do well, it's very, very possible that you have no job any longer. So we all have business. I mean, we all conduct business. We all have to buy and sell to survive in this world. But I just had this idea, because we ask God to bless, don't we? We ask Him to bless our business. We ask Him to bless our finances. We ask Him to bless our money. We really do want God to get involved in our business from that side of things, always. We want His blessing. But it's sort of like a child dedication service. As I always say at a child dedication service, this is more of a parent dedication service. You want God to bless your child, But there is a prerequisite, it seems there, that I'm going to dedicate myself as a parent to train my child in the ways of God and ask God's blessing. In the same way, I think if we're going to ask God to bless our business, I think first we need to commit our business to the Lord. And in doing so, we're asking God to bless our business. We're committing our business to God for His use, for His purposes, for His glory, and to accomplish His will. Now, I think that's fair. If we want God to bless us and to bless our business, I think first we should have committed ourselves. Well, this then business now belongs to God, His purposes, His glory, His will. We may ask God's blessing, I believe, after we have dedicated our businesses to God with our commitment to asking for and fulfilling His will in it. Are you willing that God's will be done? And I'm telling you, you might have a few Peter moments. Hey, Jesus, we've tried all of these things. Nevertheless, are you following me? Or if God says, well, I want you to do this, well, maybe that's going to cost you a little bit more than what you're willing to pay, but you know it's the Lord. Or He asks you to stop doing certain activities with your business because maybe they're not glorifying Him. I'm saying if we're going to ask God's blessing on our business, then first we commit our business to the Lord and say, this is your business. It belongs to you. Have your way with it. That being said, I'm going to ask if there's anybody in the room. And man, this goes for employees. This goes for business owners. This goes for managers. This goes for whatever. And you're saying, well, I don't have authority over this whole business. But you know what? God blessed every household and every business and every situation that Joseph was attached to. And it wasn't his business. It wasn't his household. It wasn't his government. It wasn't anything. But God blessed because of Joseph. You can bring blessing into your place of work just by your presence there because you've dedicated yourself and you've dedicated your life and you're praying for that business. I talked to somebody earlier who is in works for a certain business, but he's now having influence over that business owner. Now, are you following me? Let's stand to our feet. And I have two scriptures I want to read over you, and I'm going to pray a very generic prayer, but I really am going to ask you to do this. If you want to dedicate your business to the Lord, I just want you to fill the altar right now. Husband and wife together. If you came alone, come alone. But I just want you to stand here as an act of faith, as an act of obedience, because this is what I was directed to do. If you want to dedicate your business to the Lord, then go ahead and come right now, and then I'll pray over you. Thank you, Jesus. Michelle, would you just join me on the stage? Isaiah 48:17, honestly, is one of my, in this regard, is one of my favorite verses, because while my business is not making money, I do have business to conduct. The Lord's business, let's just say. Okay? And I've depended on this verse over and 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 over again in my life. Isaiah 48:17, I could quote it to you, but I'll read it to you so I don't miss a word. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Oh, that you would have heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. That's an awesome, awesome promise from God. I will lead you in the way that you should go. I will teach you to profit. And instead of frustration, instead of stress, you could have peace and you could stand righteously. This is right. This is righteous before God. All right? And the last one is this. It's from 3 John. Verse 2. It's only one chapter. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. The word prosper there means to have a prosperous journey. And it really does include material things. So this isn't just some, you know, metaphorical, you know, that... No, this is really saying that in this world that you live in, and the business that you have to conduct... In fact, there's a connotation there that you would succeed in business affairs. But success is defined by more than dollars and cents. That God is honored. That His will is done. That His purpose is being fulfilled. That's also success, you understand. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. So there's that tie-in to the prosperity of your spiritual life in connection to the prosperity of your business life. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. If you're in the congregation, would you stretch out your hand towards these that are up here? And Michelle and I are just going to stretch out our hand towards you in agreement. Jesus, you said that whatever we touch on earth, you'll touch that thing in heaven. That whatever we come into agreement with on earth, that you'll agree with us in heaven. That whatever things we bind on earth would be bound in heaven. Whatever things we loose on earth would be loosed in heaven. And so right now, we command the forces of darkness and tragedy and loss and fear to be bound and broken off of these businesses now in the name of Jesus. And we loose opportunities and favor and your blessing, Father, now. Father, I pray that your people, these men and women, will hear your voice and would first honor you with their words, with their money, with their actions. They would honor you in what they say and how they conduct their business. That what they would do heartily as unto the Lord. And I'm asking you right now, Heavenly Father, to lead them, to guide them, to teach them to profit and lead them in the way that they should go. And that their peace would be like a river constantly flowing in their life and their righteousness like the waves of the sea. That when they're falsely accused, that their righteousness will be a testimony before all men. That your favor would be upon them. That you would open doors of utterance, that you would open doors of opportunity to them. And that they would always be seeking to glorify you and honor you at the same time. We dedicate, we commit our business to you today. And we ask your blessing upon it now in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. God bless you. If you want to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ today, then step right up here.